There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along for another hour of live local talk. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's Monday. It's a day like when people, you know, make plans for the way. Like Monday's a get the stuff done day, right? So if you've got junk, could be at your house, could be a storage unit, could be around the house, could be in your shop, your office, wherever. You got junk, you want it gone. You've been going, you know, I'm going to get around to it. But one day I'm going to get around to... I was given actually a little round piece of wood called a round to it one time. You're never going to get one of those other than this guy who made them for me. Get around to it by calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK today or going online and making an appointment and getting the junk gone. Clear out your life. Easier to organize when you have fewer things. And life is a lot better when you're not tripping over all the junk. And you can make that happen. So here's what you do. Go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You know the big national company. You know the name. But let me tell you, my friend Trey runs it. He's been doing it for 15 years now in Mobile and Baldwin County. Like, personal friend, homeboy, you know, local folks, his family members working. They do great work. We've used them here at the radio station. I've used them personally, and you should as well. You got junk you want gone. Could be boxes in a storage, you know, storage unit you want to get emptied out. It could be, a giant play swing set, play set out in the backyard, and your youngest child's in their 30s. It could be anything. Big stuff. Small stuff, lots of stuff, whatever. You got junk you want to get gone, make that appointment. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They'll find the day that works for you, the window of time that works for you. They set an appointment. Here's how it works. They show up. Here comes a truck. Dun, 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 dun. That's the noise it makes. Truck shows up. You walk around with the crew. You point at the stuff you want gone. They'll quote your price. If you say yes, they get it done right then. So maybe make that appointment on this Monday for sometime this week, and you'll finally get around to it. 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right. We'll get into the so many texts here. And I want to point this out, too. Like every conversation we have on this show, I like all the people who want to speak on this that are in this story. Right in this discussion, coming from the resignation last week of Scott Jones from the city council, people that are discussing it, they're all welcome here. So we'll get everybody booked who has a dog in the hunt, so to speak, as we say, and you're all welcome to come on and talk about it. That's what we do here. That's the beauty of being able to do long form in news, and is one of the things that I think has helped us grow so much as a radio station is that you can. You know, you can get all sides of a story. You can get all the discussions, and you can make your own. You can make your own opinion from it. All right, let's go to this. Some, and I understand people are keeping their names for some of these things out of the mix, but I know who they are. This person is a first responder who said they've gone into quite a few of the houses that were discussed by Scott Jones. Then they said, Sean, this call from last hour from Bobby, I guess, this caller is hitting the nail on the proverbial head. Bob says, why can't we have Andrea Ramey do a news investigation on this? This smells like something fishy. Yeah. Listen, if there's anybody who's going to do the investigation, it's going to be Andrea or somebody at Lanyap. Those are the, and not saying there's not other players, but those are the ones that are D1 commits on that level. Let's see. Keith says about Aldo Forth. Maybe that's Alta Point. Sometimes a voice to text. And is this about Alta Point or about the councilman? He'll stop the callers from babbling on. Jerry says, sounds like DOT and every other state agency. Even though they're not a state agency, right? They're a 501c3, so they're NGO. Yeah, a lot of people chime in on that about specific stories. This one from Ashley. I have a very close friend who's in nursing school. She was at Bay Point for about three weeks ago for clinical. She said it was one of the most disturbing experiences of her life. So let me throw this in. And I'm not an expert in this. What I think an expert in is getting the people that are making news and letting them give you their opinions on things. But I'm just guessing, Ashley, and I don't know, but I could imagine being in a facility where people are dealing with mental health issues is going to be disturbing. It would disturb me, right? That number of people with those things, I mean, if you've been around somebody who has a severe mental health problem, it is a tough thing. If you've dealt with that, it's a tough thing. Now, we do that for our loved ones because that's our job. We love them. But I imagine having the density of people with those issues in a facility has got to be disturbing, disconcerting. See, Bill, this mess with AltaPoint is exactly what the FBI is for. Maybe if they weren't wasting all their time investigating school board meetings, they could get around to catching government officials conspiring to hide abuse. Don says, Sean, I'm glad to see this coming to light. There are a lot of things that will come to light as years grow closer to the divine revelation. Look at the Catholic Church, not knocking the Catholic Church, but Boy Scouts, not knocking Boy Scouts. However, the judgment and awareness for the innocent. So Daniel Foley says, this guy is a joke. Must be, speaking of Scott Jones. So Daniel said, this guy's a joke. This guy just said they doctored the video. Yeah, we'll have to, Daniel, I don't know. I'll have to go back and, like, off the top of my head, I can't go back and see if it's doctored or not. But that's why I asked him twice. I've known Scott Jones, has been on the show many times. I mean, to say that happened and then somebody saying it didn't happen. People talking about the corruption. We need to find out. Chris says, it's on. You've opened up a kettle of fish that stink to high heaven. It was opened last week. I think it's been opened for a while, that discussion. I just thought it was an opportunity to give somebody time to talk about the whys, right? So, yeah, you'll see, like, you'll get a clip from somebody or there'll be a quote in a story. I'm always interested. I've always have been interested before we even started this radio station of the why behind things. I think you learn more from that than just the soundbite. Michael says, it's an open secret that AltaPoint is first and foremost a prescription pusher. Their first, second, and third courses of treatment are pushing hard psychiatric medications. Michael, is that protocol? I'm speaking from a point of ignorance. I don't know what is the right protocol in that. Dink said, sounds like he needs to run for mayor. He has my vote, but I think he's moving away. Here's somebody else, unnamed texter, wants Scott Jones to run for mayor. This one's good riddance to you. I guess this is towards Scott Jones. Good riddance to you. You have a warped sense of integrity and honor. No honor in the lies you say. This texter says, Scott, my dad said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Hal says, I don't blame him for moving to Huntsville. They have a functioning city government. The difference is startling. I wish I could move there. That's not my, people often say, well, it's bad, but, you know, you could just move. This is my city. Mobile's my city, you know. I think it's okay within the city to have discussions of how to make ourselves better. And I do that all the time because I care. I don't want to just say, well, you know, just give up on, no way. Damn Yankee, you've done kicked over an anthill this time, Sullivan. Good job. Damn Yankee goes on to say, who thinks the Mobile City Council is without corruption? Thank you, Mr. Jones, for bringing this to light. And thank you, President Trump, for bringing corruption in D.C. to our attention. Speaking of, if we get time, I know this is a side note, but that's a Pentagon document thing. I think it shows a lot of that discussion, Damn Yankee. Okay, so this unnamed texter, I just used them, call them because I listened to your, okay, that maybe is that an earlier text? Oh, that's, okay, that's somebody talking about 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Well, thank you. Yeah, they're good folks, and tell Trey I said hi. What's up, Trey? So Ben says, is this kicking off a hornet's nest that it sounds like? What Scott Jones has said, and then as the city councilman, and then in his resignation, this has been, you know, it's a week, almost a week old, the discussion where he'd been you know, talking about the 200,000, the move had been going on for a while. I think what happens is you just get to hear the whys in this, and obviously it's bringing up a lot more questions here. Jerry says, okay, about the state agency, maybe not a state agency, but being a contractor to the state, certain laws don't apply. OASA, oh, is that OSHA? It's OASA, which I don't know if that's OASA, what that means, that acronym, for example, doesn't have any authority on local, state, or federal job sites. That may be OSHA, I'm guessing. I may be wrong. Malia says, I appreciate what Scott Jones is doing, but I don't understand why he doesn't stay and fight. Well, that's a... I asked him that, and it goes back to a conversation, remember, we had last week, and I don't know where I fall on this one, but I think it got a lot of responses from y'all last week. Like, if you're on, you've probably been on a board or some kind of group you get named to, right? Is the decision of that board, and see, it's a different, you know, an elected position, but say you get named to whatever, it's for a fundraiser, a charity thing you're doing, or whatever. If you've been on those before, and you got the group of six of y'all, and you're working on the thing to put on the event. I mean, these are the things I'm familiar with. I've had disagreements in putting on an event. And I know it's not, and I understand it's not the same as what we're talking about here with these allegations and with AltaPoint. But if I, how big is the, if you vote no on something, right, but the rest of the group votes yes, how much is that reflective on your character? Right, if you can go back the minutes, say I was a no vote. So, yeah, if you're the no vote, do you have to come off that board, or in this case, a council or whatever, because you feel it's reflective on you, or is it more that you feel like you can't get anything done there? Scott was saying. Dan says, Sean, that's pretty common protocol now these days. Thank you, and doesn't have Meta. It's with me. He said, my city too. Word. Word to your mother, doesn't have Meta. I keep fighting, man. I keep fighting. Coming right back, more of your text and phone calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 123 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, Ascension Technologies text line 343-0106. Same number for a phone call, 343-0106, or you could leave us a message through the talkback feature on the FM Talk 106.5 app. There on the front page, you'll see the microphone icon. You can press that, record the message, and it emails it to us here at the station. Not just this show, but any of the other shows. You can do the same. And oh, listen, there's something that seems early though. By the way, I'm sorry. I just saw a note here from the Mobile County Health Department. Three cases of the VIB, y'all. Vibriosis already. It seems like we don't get the VIB stories till on into May. But I think it has to do with the fact that this is my theory. I mean, and yes, there's the you know, people that have immunity issues. They eat like undercooked shellfish or raw, which I might identify as that. But it seems like once everybody starts getting in the water and cutting their feet, like, remember, like, stepping on an oyster shell? You ever done that? Like, I only did that, like, 10 times as a kid. I mean, splayed it open. And you're always worried about getting the infection. We'll come back to Vibrio. It'll hang around for a while. All right. More text here. Joe says, I do not believe Mr. Jones is lying. Been a lot of smoke there for years. As a fan of what our mayor has accomplished, I'm troubled that he may be complicit. Listen. The question, I mean, things can seem one way from the outside, right? And then, because you look at all these things. I mean, have you ever done that? You see a situation and go, okay, this person must have done this because of this and that. And then once you talk to the people, you're like, oh, I misunderstood that. I'm not saying that's what it is, but I think that's why it's worth getting all the different people on here to talk about this. Texter says, he keeps calling Turk, okay, so Turk Schlesinger, at AltaPoint, a cancer, but yet it is fair that other people think he's doing a good job and that he just happens to be hearing from people who've had a bad experience. Why was he not interested in the lawsuits and problems at Mobile Infirmary and other hospitals that we've seen over the last few years? Okay, so Don't know. Oh, and also, we'll get to the, a lot of oh my gosh, I keep up with these. And you're welcome to keep texting on those. And if you are some of the people that are, you know, a part of the story, you are all welcome on this show to discuss it. And as we get to the break here, I'll turn some more of these texts around, and we'll talk about that. Also, the discussion, one of the discussions nationally, I know a lot of this morning with the dirtbag killer that killed 4 in Louisville, wounded 8. Of course, it's gone. There's wait for the press conference. Wait to all about guns. All, not that guns aren't part of the discussion. Also. But just a side note, because we're not going to do this on today's show. We've got too much else to do, but we'll come back to it. I've asked this question many times. I am pretty solid 2A guy, right? With some pragmatism in it, And I've told y'all I probably have somewhere between 0 and 500 guns. It's probably zero. I don't know how they work. Probably I'm just like other talk show hosts out there pretending, you know, I probably just pretend I have them. I don't ever use them. But if I did, I would argue this. Let's say today you had an all-out ban on the sale of every firearm, right? Or make it like Australia, United Kingdom, or something like that. You could have like two bolt-action rifles and a couple side-by-side shotguns, or stack barrel, whatever over-under you want. Let's say you did that. How long do you think it would be before you saw any change in dirtbag murderers using the guns for evil? What's your answer there? If today, like somehow you had some magic wand, I don't know. You know, they suspended our rights, the Second Amendment, something changed. You could not buy a gun starting today at 5 o'clock this afternoon. No more gun sales anywhere. Do you think that by tomorrow, next year, the year after, that there we wouldn't have these stories? If you do, then I welcome your call and explain to me how that works, because I am interested. Not just rhetorical question, open question. If today at 5 o'clock you could not buy a firearm, okay? Do we have some society where dirtbags don't go kill innocent human beings? When would that be? Would it take 50 years of that? Would it take 100 years? Would it take 10 minutes? What's that number? I think it's a, you know, because right now, instead of dealing with the whole issue, it's just like Nashville has become a discussion of specifically Second Amendment, you know, instead of talking about, maybe, you know, fair question there too, the red flag discussion, you know, the red flag laws. Can we say in this case you had, in Nashville, you had somebody who was having severe emotional issues, had been under counseling and all these things, and for transgender, but you don't hear any discussion of a red flag law for that person coming from this administration, do you? Even though everything else is red flag law. By the way, so a friend of mine just texted, see, this is why this guy and I get along. Worst cut ever. He's talking about oyster shell cuts, like when we're idiot kids. Walking in, I don't know why we thought we could just walk where there are oyster shells, or we like trying to climb up a piling or something stupid like that. He says, worst cut I ever got, 18 stitches, oyster shell on the bottom of my foot. 18? Holy cow. Okay, that's huge. Got infected, reopened, and stitched it again. So somebody else who has some solidarity in my, so that's why usually I think the Vibrio cases and the discussion picks up like May. When people start getting in the water with that, like, waders on and stuff. I know, I saw pictures on social media. Folks I know were wade fishing without waders this weekend. Not warm enough for me yet. All right. A lot to talk about with y'all, as I can tell from the poppin' text line. We will get to that when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Time to check in with my friend David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Get a early week inventory check-in. Hey, David.
Good afternoon. We've got a little Audi convertible came in, a little 60 A4. That's 2016, excuse me, not a 60. 2016 A4 convertible. It's blue with a black top, gray leather. Good-looking little car. We got a Chrysler Voyager. Good-looking van that just came in. It's a 2020. And we've got a 17 RAV4. Ironically, it's Easter egg blue.
So if you want to get that, hey, get that and say, hey, I forgot to put this in the Easter basket for you. Here it is.
Yeah, you got to pay for it now, though.
That's true. All right. Tell folks how to check out this inventory in person or online and how to come see you.
You come see us all week. We'll Theodore at Highway 90 in Plantation. That's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Give us a call at 251-375-0068. Or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day.
You too. David, check it in from LCM Motor Cars. And we'll check in on some text. There's so many things going on because right now there's pressure going on with John Kirby as he's talking about the Pentagon leaked documents, which I find fascinating. So if we don't get to that fully today, we will talk about that on tomorrow's show. By the way, we call this programming note. Show's on the road on Wednesday back at one of my favorite places to do a radio show. Seriously, it's just a cool, like, I put pictures up on social media and people that work in radio around the country go, you really get to do your show from a battleship? I said, yep. We're back at the USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park on Wednesday. So that's a program note. And also tomorrow, your chance to ask the sheriff as Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch joins me in the first hour of tomorrow's Midday Mobile. The other stories, oh my gosh, that I want to get. So if we might talk a little bit about this the document leak here, I think it's fascinating. Well, because I think we're it shows you how we get lied to. It also shows how the reason I think there's some reason to believe these documents, even though they were, you know, they'd been taken and corrupted in other places. But the reason I think some of the original document leak is believable is like no side looks good in it, right? No part of this. But we'll get to that in a second. Also, 1819news.com. You go over there, and I can put this link up on the Twitter feed, but I was looking today, and I don't know, Leanna, if you saw this, because Leanna, using that, I think it's up on her Facebook page, used the ChatGPT to write poems about Mobile Mornings and Midday Mobile. The folks over at 1819 News went to the ChatGPT and asked it questions about Alabama. So it's pretty interesting. So they went in here. Here's the story. 1819 News asks artificial intelligence chatbot ChatGPT-10 questions about Alabama. Okay. And I'll put the story up so you can read through all of them. Let me press the button here. Mash on that. And then away it goes. All right. There it is. It's at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter if you want to check it out. But a little bit of it. They ask these 10 questions, and they start off with, like, tell me the history of Alabama, describe Alabama in 100 words, what are the best places to eat, blah, 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 all that stuff. But they can get down here, and they said, first of all, this is like the eighth one down, what are Alabama's biggest problems? So they're asking the chat bot. So here's what it says. Alabama faces a range of challenges, but one of the biggest problems is its poor rankings in education. Man, chatbot, where you been? I've been saying this for a while. Poor rankings in education, health, and poverty. Alabama consistently ranks among the lowest states in the country in education with low test scores and high dropout rates. That sentence from the stinking chatbot is what I'm talking about. Here's the problem. We do have the good educators. We have good educators out there. We have one of the highest, if not the highest, teacher salaries in the Southeast. But what chatbot comes up with, we still have low test scores. I'm not giving up on this either. And if you know, we'll continue because this is so frustrating to me that we do all these things and we still come out at the bottom of the list. I'm not okay with it. I'm not just going to go, oh, well, on to something else. Let me get mad about a federal issue. I said the state also ranks poorly in health outcomes. It's because we eat too much, including high rates of obesity, diabetes, and infant mortality. Additionally, Alabama has one of the highest poverty rates in the country, with many struggling to make ends meet. These issues are interconnected and contribute to a range of social and economic problems, including limited job opportunities. That's not true, chatbot, because there are a lot of job opportunities. I would say this. There's areas of our state, if you want to go sit in the middle of Dallas County and say, where's a job? And I don't want to drive 2 miles from my house, then there's not a job for you. But elsewhere in the state, there are a lot of job opportunities. We got an issue in our state with people not engaging in work, you know, people that are, you know, not out looking for a job. But it then goes on to say, with a high dependence on government assistance, back to something I've said over time, that we get more money from the federal government than we send up, and that we are a ward of the federal government. Whether you like that or not, that is true. It says, addressing these challenges will require significant investment in policy changes to improve education, healthcare access, and economic opportunities. So that's what the chatbot gave back to 1890 News when they asked about the problems in Alabama, the biggest problems. And then the next one down said, so this is, once again, Will Blakely over there asked the chatbot, tell me about cronyism and political corruption in Alabama. Here's what the chatbot kicks back. It said, Alabama has a history of political corruption with several high-profile cases involving bribery, fraud, and other forms of misconduct by elected officials and public servants. One of the main drivers of corruption in the state is cronyism, where politicians and their allies use their positions of power to grant favors and contracts to friends, family, members, and donors rather than based on merit or need. This has led to a lack of transparency and accountability in government and a perception that Alabama politics is dominated by a small group of insiders who prioritize their own interests over those of the broader public. However, in recent years, there have been efforts to address these issues through increased scrutiny, investigation, and reforms. Oh, can we just say it? And sending people out of office and jailing people, aimed at improving ethics and transparency in government. So there's the chatbot. Full story there from 1890news.com. Just go to their website or look for the link I put on the Twitter feed. I thought that was, it was interesting to hear how the chatbot's going to take all our jobs and imprison us down the road. But for now, it's fun. All right, unnamed texter here, back to our conversation from last hour. They said, I truly believe Alta Point needs looking at, but this is about a man who asked District 6 votes and said he'd have our backs. Then he up and quits the job, which is going to be interesting. You heard the news update, right? I think July here for the special election for that. So I'm sure we'll start hearing from people that are probably maybe some names that ran for District 6 before. Haywood says, Sean, the Alta Point-Bay Point issue is important and vital to be addressed. One report is one report too many. These are our most vulnerable kids. The nearest facility for care for them is Pensacola, less beds, Gulfport, then Meridian. And they know why the parents bring their kids there. Joe addressing the question I had earlier, you know, when they turn around immediately after another dirtbag goes and kills people in Louisville. But, you know, dirtbags are killing innocent people every day, too, in our city, right? I mean, dirtbag on dirtbag violence really doesn't bother me, you know? But the problem is, when the dirtbags are trying to kill each other and they end up, well, what do? They end up shooting innocent people. That's when. But I asked this question, what Joe's responding to is, what if, like, today at 5 o'clock, you could not buy another firearm? Nothing. Or, you know, you could buy a bolt action and a, you know, either an over under or side by side shotgun. That's it. Tell me how long. Is it tomorrow that the violence says? Is it a year? Is it 10 years? Is it 50 years? Is it ever? Joe says, we were making guns in barns and shops for decades. A ban on sales means nothing. Look at this. The oyster shell discussion here is something. This texter says, my cousin was running down to the river and fell on an oyster shell and cut his wrist and almost bled to death. Dan says, barnacles are a close second. Yes, they are. They are. There's something about, if I don't want you to have one if you haven't had one, but it was like a rite of passage, right? Being a kid at Dolphin Island or in a different place. I mean, you ended up slicing your foot on an oyster shell and then, Lord knows you couldn't pour enough, like mom would just pour the hydrogen peroxide like it's coming out of a fire hose in there. And that's why I think we see the Vibrio case stories pick up come May. I mean, there's people who can get them from ingesting undercooked or raw seafood, but I think they're fewer, I think. Somebody might correct me. I think they're fewer than people who cut their foot on an oyster shell and get that funk in there. That stuff's serious, too. We did a whole show on that, a man who had, I think, lost part of his leg on that. It is like, now it's not for every, it doesn't affect everybody. You have to have certain, I think, compromised immune system, this and that. But the Vibrio can be really, really bad. Fire Dog says, some of us out here in 106.5 land don't have Twitter, which is fine. I'll tell you what I'll do for you. There we go. I'm going to send you a direct link, Fire Dog. And there it goes. So there's the story. More about the chat. Listen, the chatbot's going to take over. I mean, the chatbot has taken over our life anyways. So, oh, Ashley, on that, stepping on sea urchins, almost like stepping on Legos. So I still have a scar on my left thigh. I was doing my certification dive when I was 13 years old, I think. Yeah, my scuba dive certification dive, 13 years old. And we were down at, at Pensacola, Fort Pickens. Did a Fort Pickens dive, and I'm coming around the side of the structure there. The old urchin's on the structure and, like, sticks in my leg and breaks off the little deal. And still have that scar. Still have the scar. Pretty nice. It's, you know, break it out at parties and stuff. Say, hey, look. Jerry says, be careful, Sean. They'll want to ban oyster shells. Yeah, that's quite possible. That's coming. They're a biological weapon, right? Biological weapon. All right. Before we go to the news here, I just want to run through a couple thoughts here. And there's so much. I mean, the China's military ready to fight after drills near Taiwan. I'll say this. When China says that they're ready to fight in that theater. Once again, I have no desire for a conflict with China. But when they talk about they're muscled up and ready to go, they have the in that theater. They're still not where we are militarily. They've got numbers. They've built up. But they're probably still listening to some people that are, you know, like war academics say China's still probably 30 years away from being as robust of a military as we are. But in theater, they're around Taiwan. Yeah, I think there are. But the bigger story I was looking at internationally, and that was what the chat was over the weekend about these Pentagon documents here. This is, okay. So if you hadn't read the stories here, they're all over. I read a lot from this website, Bellingcat. Bellingcat's been interesting. It's and you take what Bellingcat says, then look at a couple other sources to try to make sure you're finding, you know, some version of the truth here. It says from Bellingcat, so we had the leaked Pentagon documents. It said the existence of the documents was first reported by the New York Times after a number of Russian Telegram channels shared five photographed files relating to the invasion of Ukraine on April 5th. At least one of those has since to be found to be crudely edited, and it is. And where they found these, okay, we can go back. Where they found the documents, it says they were first posted online on Discord, a messaging platform popular with gamers. I'm going to see if my son knows what that is. It says, bizarrely, the Discord channels in which the documents dated from March were posted focused on the Minecraft computer game and fandom for a Filipino YouTube celebrity. So where we find this information at the highest levels is from a gamer's chat inside Minecraft chat for the computer game and a fan page for a Filipino YouTube celebrity. It says, however, Bellingcat has seen evidence that some of the documents dated to January could have been posted online even earlier, although it's unclear exactly when. Bellingcat also spoke to three members of the Discord community. I'm sure those guys were in their parents' basement somewhere, where the images had been posted, who claimed that many more documents had been shared across another Discord servers within recent months. The channels were then deleted following the controversy generated by the leaked documents. Ukrainian officials have cast doubt on the veracity of the documents, with Mykhailo Polodok, the advisor to the head of the Office of the President of Ukraine, stating that on Telegram, he believes Russia is behind the purported leak. But U.S. security officials, quoted in the New York Times article, appeared to hint at their authenticity. Russian presidential spokesmouthpiece Dmitry Peskov told CNN the documents showed the extent of U.S. and NATO involvement in Ukraine, yet one pro-Russian Telegram channel that has been providing updates on the conflict wasn't convinced and said it was all possible the documents could be Western disinformation. The reason why, and with all these disinformation pieces coming out about disinformation, I would say when you look at the totality of this, the fact that it gores all ox or oxen, yeah, gores all the oxen, makes me think there may be some truth in it, because it doesn't seem to have one way lean. It shows this, if you believe the documentation, we're being lied to. It shows that we are spying on the Ukrainians because they're not sharing information, even though they're, you know, need us to survive. They're only there as a country right now because of what we've given them in munitions. And once again, I'm not an anti-Ukraine. I believe in the right of Ukrainians to fight for their sovereignty. I question how long and at what level we continue to be involved in what is a proxy war. It's a test case against Russia. But I do believe in the Ukrainians being able to fight fight for their country. I'm not against that. They showed, like, you know how the story around Bakhmut was? That, yeah, it was tough in fighting, but the Ukrainians were doing, you know, pretty good in Bakhmut. It looks like, from this information, the Ukrainians were within a thread breaking of losing Bakhmut. And they also had some of the numbers here. This is because we've heard the numbers thrown out by different groups out there about the number of dead in this war in Ukraine. I think this, and it seems like with the war nerds that I'll go look at online, they seem to believe this too, that Russia's had 35 to 45,000 killed in action. Now think about a one-year war. 35 to 40, not injured. Right? Not just a casualty, KIA. 35 to 45,000. Out there. No wonder people are like, anybody of draftable age there in Russia is getting out. Not everybody, but a lot of people are. They also said 16 to 17,000 Ukrainian killed in action, Ukrainian troops. Let me point this out too. As you look at that number, you go, okay, well, man, Sean, look at that. The Ukrainians are doing quite well because the Russians have 35 to 45,000 killed and Ukrainians only have 16 to 17,000 killed. Well, first of all, defensive side in most situations, right, has less casualties. The defensive side of a military operation, because you're in place, let alone fighting for your town and your family and your people, you got a lot of tar on your heels when you do that. You should. But you've been dug in, you have the defensive position, so usually they have less casualties. That's just been true from, I'm sure, storming of castles to modern warfare. But Russia can replace their forces easier than Ukraine. And when these documents hit and people talked about it over the weekend, I said, this is a subject we've talked about so many times on this show. Once again, I'm not the cool hip thing to not be for Ukraine. I'm for Ukraine defending their sovereignty. But how many times have we referenced the Battle of Stalingrad, right? How the Russians beat the Nazis, even though I think the ratio was like, I don't know, somebody could look at that. I think it was like 5 or 6 Russians dead for every Nazi dead. It's the green machine. It's the meat grinder. Even if the Ukrainians, those numbers have been bouncing around, like you hear some rah-rah pieces, Ukrainians are killing 5 Russians to every Ukrainian dead. Let's make it 2-1, or 3-1. Eventually, Ukraine will run out of fighting age men. I mean, this is showing it in the document leaked there. I mean, how long does this go on before they're out of people to fight? Even if they're doing 3-1. Also, some of the stuff that came out too is it said maybe elements of the Ukrainian intelligence services being behind the downing of a Russian plane in Belarus back in February. Remember that? So that's action outside the borders of Ukraine. Then you could talk about the explosion the other day. And was it in St. Petersburg? There's explosion. Yeah, I think so. And then, of course, the father and the daughter that were killed and stuff. The question is, also in these documents, is how much do we know about the power structure in Ukraine? They're questioning, does Zelensky have control over the, for example, the intelligence forces there? Are they kind of autonomous, separate from Zelensky? There's a lot to this, and we're probably going to tackle this in depth on tomorrow's show, but there's... And then, of course, got to ask how you get this. Are we no better than having classified documents in garages or walk-in closets or having Pentagon documents that could just be shared on a Minecraft chat board? Now, sleep well tonight.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 156. Imagine that. I'm running late. It's all right, because we'll have tomorrow. And Paul Feinbaum's coming on in just a second. A couple of these texts. Gosh, a bunch of them. Let me go to... doesn't have Meta said... back to my discussion about fighting for Mobile. He said... staying in fighting goes back to the passion you have for the cause, your age and wisdom of the situation, how deep the issues lie. Yeah, I'm always going to, I'm going to fight for my city. He says here, I walked away from a POA board knowing I was right and doing the right things. I did it because I didn't want to go to jail. Folks are about to learn the hard way. You don't play keyboard cowboy with someone who knows where you live. Ooh. And then goes on to say, I don't like this. So I had a dream last night that we went to war with China and Russia and the bombs were dropping locally in Mobile. Goes on to say it was not as cool as I thought it would be. No, I don't think that would be cool at all. Fire Dog, thank you. He said Discord's like a bulletin board plus voice chat and live streaming. I'm sure I can ask the the Minecraft child in my house about it. He was like, oh, yeah, Dad, it's a such and such. And this right before we wrap up here, because my man C.B. Carl said, back in the early 70s, see, I think we should just put together a whole hour show where we all talk about our cutting our feet on oyster stories from our childhood or maybe our adulthood. C.B. Carl says, back in the early 70s, I cut the arch of my foot badly on an oyster shell in Bear Point. My father said it was too far to drive to Foley to the hospital, so he scrubbed it out with a toothbrush and peroxide, stuffed it with gauze, and taped it up. I still have both feet. Yeah, Mama, you should, I mean, just come in here. And then the betadine after the peroxide, then the betadine, you're like, ah! I got both feet, too, so I guess we're lucky. All right. It's Paul Feinbaum next. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow for another edition of Midday Mobile. Remember, check out the FM Talk 106.5 app. It's at the App Store and on Google Play.